Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. We're chatting this week with West Lafayette Mayor John Dennis on the program. We should point out before we get going, today's show has been pre-recorded, so we cannot take your phone calls, unfortunately. But you can always send emails for any of our four mayors to ask@wbaa.org, or you can tweet them at WBAA News on Twitter. Let's start with, because this show is pre-recorded, what are you doing when you should be doing this show live?
Well, Stan, you know, I have to apologize because you do realize that this is probably one of the focal points of my existence is coming on air live with you and have that wonderful dialogue and exchange that we so gleefully, participate in.
I had that feeling all along.
Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you have. No, today, actually, we're going to be addressing a group from South China University. They've been visiting Purdue and both cities on sort of a fact-finding mission, a goodwill mission, and an opportunity for their students to see what goes on here in the greater Lafayette area. And we're going to be having some conversations with those folks and wishing them well and hoping that they've enjoyed their stay here.
What is your relationship with them? Are you hoping to get an inter-university exchange? Are you hoping to get business development in the future? All of the above?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much yes. A few years back, several years back, a contingent of us from Greater Lafayette through our Chamber of Commerce went to China and met with a lot of the some significant investors in our community over in China, specifically the group from Nanshan. And we developed a sister city relationship between both Lafayette, West Lafayette, and Longku over in China. And that relationship obviously was one of the catalysts for the investment in the aluminum factory over in Lafayette. But also it's an investment of goodwill. Obviously, the folks from Nanshan have been looking at Purdue, have been looking at the city of West Lafayette, as well as additional investment in the city of Lafayette. And we feel that having a strong relationship with our friends in China is beneficial for our entire community. And we've had visitations from China extensively over the past several years. So this is just sort of a continuation of that.
I wanted to ask a general question, moving to another topic, about your management style. I was taking our new reporter, Sarah Fentum, around, and we went to a Board of Public Works meetings a couple of weeks ago. And I've been to several of these, and your style in those meetings is collegial. It's very conversational. It's not uppity or hoity-toity or I'm the mayor and I run the whole thing. It's very much, hey, what do you think? Hey, what do you think? Mm-hmm. And I wonder if that has its pluses and minuses, because it seems like everybody is relaxed at these meetings. Mm-hmm. And I've been to a lot of public meetings before. People tend to bloviate. Mm-hmm. Your meetings go very quickly. People mm-hmm. get the business done. You get in, you get out. Mm-hmm. So what happens when you have to address something serious or someplace where there's a problem? How does that collegial style translate to having to go to, hold on a sec, folks, mm-hmm. let's talk about this really serious thing?
Well, really, it's all about relationships. When we first were elected 8 years ago now, the relationship between the legislative bodies in West Lafayette was relatively negative. There wasn't a whole lot of positive interaction between the mayor's office, between the city attorney's office, between the legislative branch, and between the two parties that were basically operating within local government here in West Side. That's one of the reasons why I decided to do this, because there was a lot of work that needed to be done, but none of it was getting done because all it was a great big tug of rope, and nobody had either the courage or the intellect to let go of one of the sides of the rope. And I felt that it was imperative that the first thing that we do when we get on board here is to try and create relationships with those folks and empower them to make decisions and empower them to understand everything based upon complete transparency of what we're doing, what our objectives are, what our vision is, and how they can contribute to that vision. And that doesn't necessarily mean by voting yes every time we offer up a piece of legislation. That means by empowering them to have input into those decisions and for us to give them as much information as we possibly can prior to decisions being made. And it's been very successful. Also, my leadership style is somewhat based upon the fact that I believe strongly in empowering my people who are experts in specific fields to be able to make independent decisions. Philosophically, they all know what I want. They all know what I believe to be our future here in West Lafayette. And by empowering them to continue with that general concept that I've hopefully I've fostered in with them, and to get that thing taken to fruition, I think that's why we've had so much success. And plus, I don't want to go into – I've done the hard stuff. You know, I was a police officer for 23 years, so I've been spit on and shot at and all that kind of stuff. This is a job where cooperation is going to basically give us some amazing results, and we've been able to actually, you know, benefit from that. So it is kind of a different philosophy that a lot of elected officials have. And believe me, you know, being elected mayor just meant that I am a much more visible public servant than I was when I was a police officer. And that's what I firmly believe in.
Do you ever have any of your officials take a look at you when you have to say something stern to them, or you have to tell them to do their job in a different way? And does someone ever come to you after a meeting and go, "Mayor, why'd you have to bust my chops like that when that's what needed to be done?" Does anyone ever question, "Hey, what happened to the nice guy who was running the meeting 5 minutes ago?"
No, never. You know, because you don't just walk in, and it's not like visiting Sesame Street every time you show up for work. We have a lot of contentious issues. We have a lot of people who disagree by the nature of this beast that we call politics. People are going to disagree, and you're going to have some people that disagree just because. Some people show up at meetings and disagree. And I'm all about respect. I mean, you can disagree with me or any of my staff or any of the council, but if you do it disrespectfully, I will shut you down right now. And I've done that before at meetings. The same thing applies when we're having conversations internally or if I'm having a disagreement with one of my elected officials. It's all about respect. It's all about making sure that, you know, you might agree to disagree, but the reality of it is there's a bigger purpose here, and it's not the political purpose. It's the public service purpose.
This is Ask the Mayor on WBAA. We're chatting with West Lafayette Mayor John Dennis. Today's show has been pre-recorded, but you can always send emails to ask@WBAA.org. You can tweet questions at WBAA News on Twitter. We've been talking for a couple of months now about the State Street Project, trying to choose a consortium of companies to run the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Where are you on making that choice?
Still moving down the road. I mean, this project it's gained attention from around the state. This is such a unique opportunity for this incredible partnership between Purdue and West Lafayette. The way that we're getting this done, the timeline that we're getting this done. So we're still in the process of, we have weekly meetings. We, specifically my staff and the staff from Purdue, have weekly meetings. And we're still just moving down the road. So everything's going as planned and on schedule. So stand by. Big announcements are going to be coming here in the very near future.
Yeah. How long until that announcement is made, do you think?
Probably, I think we're into a brand new month right now. So obviously probably sometime this month, I would say.
All right. And have you been noticing differences, either overt or subtle, between the two finalists that you're considering?
Everything's sealed, so that's out of my league right now.
All right.
I could do my Karnak and hold the envelope to my head, but that might not necessarily be with the right answer.
It could be entertaining, though.
Yes, it could be.
So I had sort of a chicken or egg question for you about a portion of State Street, and we've talked about...
The answer is chicken.
Chicken? All right. Well, we'll have to decide which of these two is the chicken here in a second then. So we've talked about the corner of Northwestern and State before, and there are a couple of businesses there that have had a real tough time just staying in business. You've talked about your frustration trying to get something in there so that you're building the tax base, so that you're getting those to be occupied rather than just kind of sitting there vacant. I wonder if you think you're going to have those two, which are among the more visible properties right there smack in the middle of Chauncey Village, filled before you get State Street going? Or do you think it's more likely that the redesign of the road and the beautification thereof points out to some investor, hey, now we've got this nice new revamped space in which we'll put this stuff? But then, of course, you're waiting until, as your current timeline says, at least 2018 before you get something in there.
Alex, I'd like to choose option B. What is option B? The fact of the matter is that situations like this have two different competing interests going on at the same time. You've got the private sector. This is all private property. And private sector folks generally look at things from a different perspective than public sector folks. Us public sector folks look at beautification. We look at investment. We look at tax base. We look at, you know, providing services. We look at making sure it's going to be something that is going to be aesthetically appealing when you look at a brand new gateway into a community. Private sector folks look at revenue and look at affordability caps. So those two things are kind of what's going on right now in the general picture. But more specifically, it's still a deal that has yet to be made. You know, there are folks that own each entity. There's partnerships involved. And it is something that we as local government are not involved with the exception of saying, come on, guys, let's get something done here. Let's not get a brand new road built with two, you know, with one vacant boarded up space and another antiquated strip mall and try and market this as the new beautification of what hopefully will be formally known as the worst, you know, college town in the Big Ten.
Are you suffering from that label? Because that's something that came out a couple of months ago. And even when we were trying to hire our new reporter, that was one of the very first things she saw was West Lafayette stinks as a Big Ten college town.
Well, that's why they don't have sports commentators running cities. And if you'll note, remember I did the sports on our local TV station. I'm sure you were glued to the TV for that.
I wasn't even around here at that point, so.
Ah, Stan, you missed an opportunity, I tell you. But the fact of the matter is, yes, that does carry a bit of a burden. I was honored to be the moderator for, or the mediator for, or maybe the moderator for, either way. And you can delete that part.
If there was an argument, you might have been the mediator.
There you go. For the debate with our students who are running for our city council positions. And that was one of the topics that was brought forward. You know, we live in a community now that has had that wonderful moniker of being the worst. And anytime, regardless of who's the one that's making the assessment, if you're the worst at something, there's only one way to go, and that's up. And that's what the State Street Project is hopefully going to start. I mean, you know, obviously one road is not going to change the dynamic of an entire community, but it sure is a good way to get things going in the right direction. And we do. I get a lot of ribbing from other mayors about, hey, it's good to be number nothing, isn't it? And I always tell them the same thing. Stand by. Stand by. Big things are happening.
At the same time, that is kind of what you're expecting out of this project is you're trying to create a downtown, which this city really hasn't had. Mm-hmm. And so you really are trying to change with one road the entire tenor of the way people think about this city, aren't you?
Sure. I mean, the road is the focal point, but the concept, I think, is what's going to carry the day. You know, when you're looking at spending this amount of money, when you're looking at dedicating this complete awe-inspiring pile of resources to get a project done in such a short period of time, that sends a message to folks that says, hey, you know, we're open for business and we're ready. Come on down. And plus, it's always been one of the great things about living in a college community is the fact that there is a definitive knowledge of how many people you have and what they like to do. You know, when you look at that, those ages from about 18 to 26, that demographic has a fairly predictable, you know, when you talk about economics and investments and you know, purchasing power, they're fairly predictable. And so that brings in a specific type of investor. We've always had the joke about Trader Joe's. We've always had the joke about an Apple store. And they use a different metric for where they're going to invest. And we've tried to crack that metric a little bit because they look at us not formally prior to annexation. They looked at us at having a population of about 30,000 people. Well, now our static population is 42 plus another 40, give or take, 1,000 student residents. And we're trying to impress upon them that that's what we need to be assessed by, not necessarily that smaller number. And we've made some headway. So long answer, yeah, it's going to bring in some additional investment. And the hope is that that investment is going to be something that makes us a stellar community in the state.
Eventually we'll get the investment.
Eventually. Patience, my dear.
So on the topic of business investment, we talked a couple of months ago about there's a gas station that was built on the north end of town, and mm-hmm. residents around there were not at all happy that this was happening.
Well, they're still not happy.
Well, that was my question, is what are you hearing now that it's been in there for several weeks?
Well, they're quiet. I mean, they haven't been calling or knocking on our door at all, but I think that they had expressed their opinions relatively clearly to us early on. And I think it's somewhat of a surrender. I mean, it's there. You know, what are you going to do? But our hope is that the promises that were made to the community when they were doing this development will be kept. You know, we were always concerned. We're always concerned when a developer doesn't need to go through us to do their stuff. Not because we want to control every complete thing, but, you know, we like to have the power of suggestion to make sure that it fits the unique personality that is West Lafayette. And the developer said, yep, we got it. And you're going to be so proud of this. This is going to be the best thing you ever seen, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And we're hoping that that will be the case. It's unfortunate in a way because it is a gas station and a, you know, a store. And it's unfortunate because what we had originally planned to go into that spot was so much more. But sometimes economics do what economics do, and what ends up happening isn't what you dream for, but it's what you have to settle for. And in this particular case, that's that. But I do believe they're going to get some business. I think just because of where they're located, they'll get some business. I don't know that it's going to be anybody that lives in that neighborhood, but I do think that they're probably going to be able to have a positive cash flow shortly.
Now that we're talking about new developments in the city, you were quoted on our air at the beginning of this week talking about the new Rolls-Royce facility mm-hmm. that's going in mm-hmm. the Purdue Research Park. And you said it brings some extra cachet to mm-hmm. the city. All of a sudden, you can boast of having Rolls-Royce, which mm-hmm. is a big luxury brand name when you're talking mm-hmm. about cars. It's a major maker of airplane components. Mm-hmm. What does that cachet allow you to do? How can you leverage that going forward?
Well, we are really fortunate that we've dedicated that particular sector of our community as our aviation tech park. Excuse me. And with Rolls-Royce coming in here, with the products that they provide to the market, the aviation market, that hopefully will spur more investment in like-type companies. Rolls-Royce, because of its brand, obviously doesn't just go about things willy-nilly. They do their research and make sure if they're going to be investing in a community, it's going to be worth their investment. And sometimes when you have that sort of that type of brand making that initial step, that is one of those things that you can point at and say, okay, confidence starts right here. These folks are willing to do the extra step to come into our community. You should too. And plus, I mean, Rolls-Royce, when you talk to them, why they're here, you know, because that's one of the first questions that the media asks, what did you come to West Lafayette for? Well, the resources that Purdue have, you know, our student population, the potential from going straight from the podium with your degree still wet to going to work, that's the kind of stuff that people are looking for now. You know, we've got a lot of issues when it comes to trying to make sure that we fill in the jobs gap. There's a lot of jobs that are available that aren't being filled right now. And so, you know, developers, investors, people that own and manage companies, look at the job market. That's one of the key factors now. It used to be quality of life. It used to be return on investment. But the job market is what dictates a lot of folks' interest in investing. And when people are going to be building a research facility or be doing something that requires an intellectual component to the application or to the positions that are available, what better place than Purdue University in West Lafayette?
So you talked about the possibility of Purdue aviation grads going right from the graduation stage to having a job at some place like Rolls-Royce. Mm-hmm. So I have to ask the next question, mm-hmm. which is Rolls-Royce says to fill the jobs that we're having here, we're moving everybody in from Indianapolis. We're mm-hmm. not creating any new positions. So were you able to secure, for instance, the promise of future expansion that would allow jobs to be created? Because right now, nobody in Tippecanoe County or West Lafayette is getting a new job. They're mm-hmm. all moving from elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So did you put any sort of stipulations in with Rolls-Royce when this was happening? Do you know of any future plans of expansion that would allow those students to have jobs? Is there any hope in that respect?
Well, there's always the hope that expansion is going to answer the question of who's going to be working there next. But the presumption is that they didn't pick us because we had pretty scenery. They picked us because of what we're able to offer as a community that has a world-renowned research university. So cautiously optimistic, yeah. I think that we're going to be able to – that they're going to be able to expand and that they're going to be looking at our internal market here to fill that expansion.
When you're looking at business development from the outside and a company – that is a big name company like Rolls-Royce that mm-hmm. everyone will have heard of mm-hmm. comes in and says, we want to locate this here, but we can't give you any new jobs right now for people in your community. Mm-hmm. How do you weigh whether that cachet that you talked about is worth it if your constituents then come to you and say, hey, look, I might be qualified for this job. Why are you having people come in from 70 miles away to do it?
Mm-hmm. Well, again, they're asking me a question that I can't respond to. You know, what we do is we try to recruit development. We try to recruit investment. You know, by virtue of the fact that they put that facility within the city limits of West Lafayette, it's a bonus for us. Obviously, there's economics that come into play, you know, that we generate revenue, et cetera, et cetera. And then the jobs market is one that you hope that does expand. You know, every factory, every community that's had the benefit of getting an investment like that usually does so in two phases. First off, it's what we're getting now and then what we're going to get in the future. And we would be somewhat short-sighted if we said, sorry, you know, we don't want you here because you're not going to bring us any jobs. Because, again, plant it and it will grow. You know, sometimes having a brand like Rolls-Royce, as I indicated earlier, will bring other folks to come in that will be bringing in new jobs. And our industry, you know, you're never going to see smokestacks in West Lafayette. The industry that we have is an intellectual industry. There's a lot of research being done, a lot of product development being done. And that does, excuse me, that does play in very well with what goes on at Purdue University. So it's a natural combination. It's a natural sort of mix. And the jobs, and again, we're optimistic they will come.
So I have to ask, based on the last couple of topics we've talked about, you look at something like the Rolls-Royce factory, mm-hmm. and it's a big name, and it's a lot of potential for development down the road that mm-hmm. could be very, very good for the city and for the university and for potential students who would get jobs there. And you look at something like this gas station, which everybody and their brother was critical of, mm-hmm. and yet it's the gas station that's created more jobs in West Lafayette right now.
Sure.
Isn't that a funny paradox that you have to deal with?
It is. It is. But, you know, that just you basically are comparing apples and rocks. You know, a gas station puts a facility in a community. It's not likely that they're going to bring other employees from around the state to work there. They come there with an understanding that they're going to be hiring locally. A factory, again, you know, with a major brand like Rolls-Royce or you know,
yeah,
General
but you
Motors.
Look at something like the Subaru plant in West Lafayette, and Subaru expands its plant, mm-hmm. and they say, we're bringing on 1,200 more employees. And they don't say we're bringing them from other Subaru facilities around the world. They're saying we're hiring them here. Here's the job fair. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is clearly done on all sorts of hiring mm-hmm. scales, isn't
sure.
it?
Mm-hmm. But you're comparing, I mean, again, they're completely different employment models. You know, one, highly skilled, trained, professional, and they probably will bring their resources in from another area because that's what they do. People get transferred all the time. Another, you know, generally speaking, they're going to be recruiting from the community. So kind of like two different things.
You're listening to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. We're chatting with West Lafayette Mayor John Dennis. This program has been pre-recorded, so we cannot take your phone calls today, but we'd always like your emails at ask@WBAA.org, and you can tweet questions at WBAA News on Twitter. Seems like I have lots of business questions this week.
You've been doing your homework.
I've been trying to anyway.
Good man.
It was more than I did in college. So,
and you're getting a very good grade today.
To the surprise of very few, mm-hmm. the Purdue football team bad again this year, off mm-hmm. to a 1-3 start. Mm-hmm. We have talked in the past on our programs with Morgan Burke, the athletics director, about the fact that last year, for instance, the football team came in $3 million in revenue below where they thought it would, and that's mm-hmm. a big blow to the athletics department, which self-sustains in terms of revenue it brings in mostly from people who attend football and basketball games. Mm-hmm. Can the city quantify whether it is down in revenue as well from fewer people spending their Saturdays at Ross-Ade Stadium watching a moribund football team?
Well, I would say that the hotel and restaurant industry most definitely can. But for us, a lot of what goes on during a home game deals with our student population. And they really do. I mean, regardless of how competitive their sports team of choice is, they do go out because it's a social event as well as it is an entertaining event. And they do go out and still pretty much do the same thing. I mean, if you look at the lines in the morning for Breakfast Club, they're still there. You know, they're still doing what they do in the mornings. When we look at the activity with our police department, you know, the activity still is much higher during a home Purdue football game than it is on just a regular weekend when Purdue plays away. So we're not seeing that much of a change because, again, we're right here at the hub of where the activity is. But my presumption is that there's probably a few hotel rooms that aren't being filled like they used to be.
Let me ask the opposite side of it, which is the Purdue men's basketball team expected to be good this year, expected to be competitive in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. And you began to see it at the end of last season that Mackey Arena was fuller as you got to the end of the season, as the team got closer and closer to qualifying for the mm-hmm. NCAA tournament. Can you make up some of that money for the hoteliers and for the restaurants and the bars? Or is there, I mean, clearly there are only so many rooms and there are only so mm-hmm. many nights that those rooms can be filled. Mm-hmm. So what is your ability if the football team loses money to make it up on even a very good basketball team?
I would think it would be pretty good. You know, Mackey Arena only holds so many people. But a lot of people come to campus to participate more in the buzz of the event. And if the basketball team goes on to be as successful as our hopes are, we're going to have a lot of people coming to town. And you know what another great big draw is of these games? That's a question for you, Stan.
See, I don't get asked questions
very much.
I know,
you're looking at me like a deer in the headlights. when ESPN shows up.
Ah.
Because when you get a national network that shows up to one of your sporting events, that adds that certification of credibility that you've got a pretty good team.
But that's not bringing in other people, is it?
Yeah, it really does. Because a lot of people, they'll show up, not even just to go into the game, but they show up around the vans and things just to get their face on TV.
Huh.
It's kind of a weird social dynamic.
All right. So a couple of other things that I wanted to talk to you about. One more business question, just because I can't
because
seem to get
can,
away from
because
them.
M plus we're taping this, and I apologize, I'm not here in real life. But, and so you can do this as long as you want.
That's true, I could. So I've talked with Mitch Daniels a couple of times about the possibility of getting commercial air travel back at the Purdue airport. Mm. And he has mm-hmm. basically said, look, yes, we're getting new investments from Republic and other places, but don't necessarily hold your breath on that. Mm-hmm. Is there any talk that the city ever has about the possibility of that? Because that would benefit you guys too, obviously.
Oh, man, you wouldn't believe how much. We had, it's probably been 5 or 6 years ago, we had some pretty involved meetings about recruiting a company to run a private air service out of our airport. And we had actually decided on one provider. But the provider added a caveat that if they needed to have so many passengers per flight per day. And that caveat was that if they weren't able to fill those seats, then local government would be responsible for paying for those vacant seats. And we obviously can't engage in the commercial air flight business, so we were unable to meet that commitment. And that's the big challenge. You know, we've got a very vocal population that wants to fly to D.C., that wants to fly to New York, that wants to fly to Detroit or wherever. And we would love to accommodate that, or to Chicago, just to get to the international flight. And we'd love to be able to provide that service. But unfortunately, the service providers, you know, they're looking at their bottom line, too. And they're definitely not into this for the good faith. It's not a charitable organization. So until we can guarantee them that they'll have that level of ridership, which would be challenging for us to do on any given day, the interest somewhat wanes.
So we've essentially decided in our last 20 seconds here, there aren't enough people. There aren't enough air travelers mm-hmm. to sustain that sort of service.
Well, there is at peak times. But again, you know, peak times don't carry a fiscal year. So
you could do it at the holidays, but you
sure.
couldn't do it
holidays,
in the middle of June.
Holidays, spring break, Christmas, you know, end of school. Yeah, you could.
All right. Well, we have run out of time. I promise I'll ask things about stuff other than business on our next show.
You got to do your homework, Stan.
I do have to do my homework, yes. but thanks for your time as always.
Always a pleasure.
And have fun talking to the folks from the university.
Most certainly will.
This has been Ask the Mayor on WBAA. You can always send questions for the program to ask@WBAA.org. You can tweet them at WBAA News on Twitter, and all of these shows are archived at our website, WBAA.org. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Support for Ask the Mayor on WBAA comes from your membership and Butler, Fairman & Seifert, a civil engineering firm providing communities with professional expertise and guidance. Butler, Fairman & Seifert, civil engineering solutions for better communities. BFSENGR.com.